Well, it's good to see you again. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I enjoyed that choir. That's the first time we've ever been here with a choir singing. And we've hoped every time they would sing. Y'all did a great job. I appreciate that so much. And that was such a blessing. Exodus chapter number 19, please. Exodus 19. Good to see all of you here. Appreciate the privilege of being in the Lord's house this morning. And being with y'all, thank you for your kindness to us. And I really enjoyed yesterday as well. That was a blessing. And I appreciate all the food and fellowship yesterday as well. I want to deal with the thought out of this chapter if we can this morning. And we'll begin reading in Exodus chapter number 19, verse number 1. So you follow along with us if you will, please. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, where they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God. That's a strange statement, isn't it? My. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain and said, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people were together and said, Can you imagine this, preacher? All that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people, unto the Lord. There in verse number 9, he said, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. And I want to deal with this thought this morning, a meeting with God. Amen. A meeting with God. Would you pray for us, please? Heavenly Father, please help us this morning, Lord. We ask you to please, Lord, let the word of God go forth with power.
Yes.
Lord, we are capable of doing nothing without you, Lord. And I understand that, Lord. And oh, God, would you please meet with us here for a while as I try to look into the word? Would you please, Lord, let the people hear exactly what you want them to hear?
Yes.
May they hear not just from a man, but may they hear from Almighty God. And would you please, Lord, stir our hearts and work in our hearts these truths that are here. And, Lord, I pray that it would make a lasting impression on us, Lord, and that you would please, God, let things come to pass that only you can. We need you, Lord, and we confess that this morning. And I pray that you'd please, Lord, give us a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I hope everybody is interested in what these scriptures convey to us this morning. I don't know if you are or not. Thank the Lord you're here. You must have some desire to be in the house of God, and so you're here, and I thank God for that. I would preach this message in every church in America if I could, or any other message from the scriptures. But so I'm not picking you out to preach this particular message, but how we need the truths that are laid out before us here in this passage of Scripture. The preacher said this morning, America needs to go come back to God.
Right.
And you know where that starts? It starts here.
That's right.
We cannot expect the world to turn to God if the church is not turned to God.
Right.
And if the church, of course the scriptures tell us judgment must begin at the house of God.
Right.
And so if we want this nation, which I don't think they have any intentions to, but that's not our problem.
Right.
Our problem is to get where we need to be and trust God would do beyond what we can do.
Amen.
And so in this passage of Scripture, the people of God have come out of Egypt. They've come up to the area here that we are discussing in our Scripture this morning. And in doing so, God has told Moses that he's going to come down and meet with the people. I wonder if we understand how essential that is. I wonder if we become so complacent and so used to the ordinary that we don't expect much more. I talk to preachers throughout the week and throughout the months, you know, and I'll say, how'd it go? How'd the meeting go? And I said, well, it was pretty good. Pretty good. What does that mean? You didn't have no fights? Nobody got mad? Nobody left the church? I mean, what does that mean? Very few will be honest and say, it was dead as a hammer. Because sometimes it just is. But it's very rare. I talk to a preacher, and I would be included in this. When I pastored, it'd be the same thing. It's very rare I hear somebody say, give me the report of, boy, God met with us yesterday.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't just a show of emotion. There's lots of emotion goes on in liberal churches.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes I'd talk to a preacher and say, how'd it go? He said, well, I had a good crowd.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Right.
Had good offerings, had a few visitors. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in some preacher saying, oh, Brother Randy, you should have been here. Oh, God met with us yesterday.
Amen.
In spite of us. We didn't deserve it. And we sure can't tell God what to do. But oh, that we'd set our hearts aright and ask God to meet with us and come down in mighty holy power and His presence real. I tell you, I long to hear that from a preacher. Sometimes they'll say, oh, I have good liberty. Well, that's a blessing.
Right.
That's a blessing. But if that's all we have,
right,
I think we're falling short.
Yes.
And so in this thought of a meeting with God, I'm interested in this because I long for that. I want that. Brother Billy Mitchell used to say, he said, if churches were as dead when I got saved as they are today, he said, I probably would never got saved. He said, the reason I went back is because I saw some people was excited about God.
Right.
And I wonder in most of our churches if a visitor was to come in lost and undone, not knowing nothing, not even under conviction, but just happened to wander in, and I wonder if they'd see anything that would make them want to come back.
Right.
I wonder if they'd see a people that was longing for God to move.
Right.
Have you ever been in a service where God really moved?
Yeah.
Have you ever been where the presence of God was really real?
Yes.
If you are saved and you've ever experienced that, nothing else will ever do until you experience that again.
That's right.
Now we keep on. We try to be faithful, try to be loyal. We try to keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. But I'm telling you, there would be a longing in your heart for Almighty God to sit down amongst people and show His presence and His power and all how we need that again. And in this passage of Scripture, God's going to meet with these people.
Yes, sir.
But He said, there's some things He says He wants done in order to do that and some things that we're supposed to do in order to get ready for that.
Amen.
I wonder if we come in thinking, well, Preacher Shepherd, it's all on Him this morning.
Yeah.
Preachers feel like that, you know.
I
wonder if you come in and the preacher can say you're ready for God to show up.
Amen.
You're wanting God to move. You're excited of what God might do in our services today. And if a preacher was to notify and see that in somebody, you're talking about an encouragement in his heart.
Amen.
But it would just come and sit and flop down and leave the same way.
Yeah.
In this passage of Scripture, God has already told Moses, and He's going to tell the people that Almighty God, the God of glory, is going to come down where they're at.
That's right.
And meet with them. If you had got a notice on Wednesday night that God was going to meet with you this morning on Sunday, how would you have been between Wednesday night and this morning?
Right.
Here they've got 3 days to prepare. And in this passage of Scripture, He gives them some structure and some outlines here on what they need to do and to prepare for that.
Amen.
Now in Exodus chapter number 40, let me read you these verses right quick for just a moment. In Exodus chapter number 40, verse number 33, it says this, "And He reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate." So Moses finished the work. Now this is what happened. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because a cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Oh, how we need that in our day.
Amen.
Oh, have you ever experienced anything like that? Or if you haven't, do you want to? Would you like to do more than just read it in the Bible? Would you like to experience the presence and power of Almighty God?
Amen.
It's possible.
Right.
I got saved in 1982. I didn't even know you was 50 years old, much less been saved 50 years. 1982, I got saved. I was a 21-year-old young man. I had lived wicked, been to church, took to church all my life. But when I got 18, I still went to church from time to time, but I was wicked in my heart. And the things I did proved that. But oh, praise God. May the 14th, 1982, I just celebrated my birthday last month or two ago. I got gloriously saved. And since that day, I have never regretted that. I've never wanted to go back to the world. The devil's tempted me to quit church a couple of times. But if I quit church, I'm not going back to the world. I might as well stay in church. But I'm telling you, God in those years of my life has blessed me beyond measure in being in some places where Almighty God has showed up.
Yes, sir.
It's not every service. I wish it was. It's not as frequent as it used to be, but I wish it was. But here in this passage of Scripture, God has told them that He's going to come down and meet with them. My soul, what a piece of information I have, knowing that you're going to encounter Almighty God in just 3 days. So here in this passage of Scripture, He says some things that I want you to look at this morning, if we may, for just a few minutes. Look what it says here in verse number 10, if you will. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Sanctify. It means to consecrate. The word consecrate, it means to cleanse from corruption and purify from sin. And so in this passage of Scripture, he is dealing with them about getting right with God. That's what it is. Can I ask you something? Did you come this morning right with God?
Amen.
Have you allowed some things in your life or just took things lightly in your life? Oh, everybody else does it. That don't mean it's right.
Nope. Right.
Have you really took serious the fact that you're going to be in a place where God's house is and God might meet with you? Have you seriously considered consecrating yourself? With all the technology of today, it's very simple to be involved in things you should never have been involved with. In our slackness, in our lethargic attitude toward God and the things of God. I'm telling you, these people had 3 days to get right, to get ready to meet Almighty God. And I wonder if we come to church even right with God.
Amen.
The good thing about it is, if you come to church not right with God, you can get right with God.
Amen.
If you're interested in that. Say, preacher, I'm not doing anything worldly. I'm not drinking liquor and I'm not smoking dope. Some people think that's all there is to it. There's a whole lot more to it than that. If that's what you think being right with God is, just not drinking liquor, you gotta get some more Bible in you.
Right. Amen.
Meeting with God.
Amen.
Consecration of the people. God told him, you tell the people they were going to be consecrated because I'm going to meet with them in 3 days. The consecration of those people. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, I in our churches, there is so much sin prevalent in most of the churches that I know about. I'm talking about some of the best churches that I know about. I'm telling you, sin is prevailing, and things are going on. My soul, it's amazing what happens, and sometimes it comes out, and you find out, and you think, oh, my goodness, why in the world wasn't the Holy Ghost so quenched and grieved? Used to years ago. When something was going on, it would just shut the services down. But now we've learned to just go right on through like nothing happened.
Yep.
Like nothing's going on.
Yep.
Oh, I've seen them shout, committing fornication.
Yep.
Right in the church.
Yep.
I'm telling you, we must be a consecrated people.
Amen.
If you're saved by the grace of God and you're serious about serving God, you need to be consecrated. I need to be consecrated. I'm telling you what, God, bless His holy name, has been tearing me up lately, and I thank God for it. I'm telling you, every one of us need to get right with God from time to time. And I praise God for it. So here in this passage of Scripture, first of all, He deals with the consecration. Look what else He deals with in verse number 10. He said, and the last part of that verse, He said, and let them wash their clothes. Well, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Let them wash their clothes. Now, in our day society, they say, well, it don't matter what you wear. Oh, is that true? I think it does matter what you wear. Here in this passage of Scripture, some writers say the outward presentation of washing their clothes is a sign of the inward washing that they've gotten right with God. Well, that's good, and it is a presentation to the other people around you.
Right.
Oh, God doesn't look on the outward. He looks at the heart. But the people look on the outward.
Right. Exactly.
And if you realize it, God looks on the outward.
That's right.
We ought to do our very best.
We
ought to do our very best when we come to the house of God. God told them to wash their clothes and gave them 3 days to do it. They didn't have a Maytag dish, a washing machine, and a dryer. But I'm telling you, they were responsible to present themselves properly when they was going to come into the presence of Almighty God. And I think we ought to do the same. I think we ought to do the same. You know, years and years ago, even at a funeral, lost people would dress up. You could tell they ain't had a tie on, or they have to go buy a tie, a cheap tie from Walmart or something, and the women have dresses on. You could tell they ain't wore a dress probably in 25 years. But they would do it in respect for the dead people, and the people that lay there in the funeral home, and for the family that was there. They would do it for respect, but you can't even get people to say they're saved to do that for respect for the house of God. But it is important. Well, it is here. God told them to wash their clothes. He's concerned about their outward appearance.
Right.
You ought to do your best. Say, I can't afford that. You can afford a shotgun and a fishing pole.
Amen.
It's amazing to me. I know it takes $75 to fill your car up. I understand all that. And things are very expensive. But them things last for years.
Right.
It's not like you got to buy a new one every Sunday.
Yeah.
Do your best. That's all I'm asking.
Right.
That's what God was wanting them to do. Do their best.
Right.
They're not just meeting the president. And I guarantee you, if you was going to meet the president, you'd dress up.
Yep.
You'd put your best on.
Right.
But here they're going to meet God.
Right.
And God's concerned about their presentation, about their outward. And so He tells them to clean their clothes. Wash their clothes is what He tells them there in that passage of Scripture. Look, if you will, please, to verse number 12. He said, and thou hast set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. Here He gave them some confines. Boundaries. Now let me ask you something. Say, oh, I don't, you know, you hear people that leave churches that believe something, and it's all such freedom. I'm out from under the bondage. All this stuff they say. And so if you looked at this right here, they would say, those boundaries there, those confines, they were cramping me. They were holding me down. They were hurting me. Now let me ask you something. Did those boundaries hurt them? Was that there to hurt them or to help them? They were there to help them. Because if they crossed those boundaries, God was going to have them killed. Now, I'm telling you, there's some boundaries that the men of God will preach and this Bible gives us that is good for us, not to hurt us, but to help us. To help us to keep from coming under the judgment of God and the creation of God. We need to realize that God has set some boundaries. And you shouldn't be against that. If you've got children, you ought to set boundaries for them. You don't do that to hurt them. You do that for their benefit, to help them. Well, God does the same thing for us. The boundaries that He has. And your pastor will preach those things and instruct you on what those confines, those boundaries are. But they are always to help you. He's not trying to lord over God's heritage. He's not trying, like you said yesterday, to be a dictator. But I'm telling you, He's trying to instruct you on what God expects out of the church of God and the house of God. And you and I will thank God for that. There's some boundaries that God set. And in this passage of Scripture, He set the boundaries here. The confines for them not to cross over, because God said if you cross over, you're going to be killed. So in this passage of Scripture, several pieces of information that God is giving them to help them understand that it is very serious when we meet with God.
Yes, sir.
And I think we have, as a church, as churches, independent Baptist churches, have taken that so lightly down through the years, and it's becoming more of that way on and on and on we go. Serious. It's a serious matter when we meet with God. So can I ask you something? Are you interested in meeting with God? Would it matter to you if God doesn't help us today? Say, it don't really matter to me either way. Preacher, I'm going to go home and eat something and lay down and take me a nap. It don't really matter either way. I think that attitude has gripped the Baptist churches.
Yes, sir.
If God was to deal with you, would you come to the altar? Not necessarily this morning, but any time.
Right.
How long has it been since you've been in the altar? Say, preacher, I'm just not able. I understand if you're not able to get in the altar. I understand that. But if you're able, how long has it been? Say, well, preacher, I don't ever go to the altar. God don't ever deal with you? These people, the very first thing God says, get right with God. He said, talked about their consecration. He talked about their clothing. He talked about their confines and boundaries. God has set those things in order because God's getting ready to meet with them.
Amen.
Oh, how we need that in our day. We need that so bad. So, does God take it that serious? Oh, yes, He does take it that serious. No wonder the way most churches are in our day, as loose as they are and as unscriptural as they are and uninterested as they are, no wonder God don't ever meet with us.
Right, yeah.
I know when He does meet with us, it's in spite of us.
Sure.
But thank God sometimes He decides to do that.
Amen.
And I bless His holy name for it. Men would drive hundreds of miles years ago to go to Camp Zion.
Yes, sir.
Why? Why would they go all the way down to Myrtle, Mississippi? Why would they take their time and get off jobs and get off work and travel that distance? And back then they didn't have all the conveniences we have now. And you'd go all the way down there. I remember my father-in-law say they'd cram an old car, go down there and old bumpy roads and stuff and drive for hours and hours and hours to get there. Why would they do that? Because they had anticipation that the God of heaven was going to meet with them down there.
That's right.
And they wanted to be part of it.
That's right.
They wanted to get in on it. That's how camp meetings used to be. They're not as much that way anymore, I'm sad to say. But you want to go to camp meeting because you knew somewhere probably that week God was going to show up. A lot of times in the old days camp meeting, some man of God would get up and rip hide somewhere in that week. I mean, lay it down where the rubber meets the road. And usually a service or two after that, God would show up. God would show up. Because He would talk about the consecration and the clothing and the confines. He would do all those things. And then they would get their hearts right with God. That's not the only thing He said. He takes this very serious. If you will, please, look on down here, verse number 15 for a moment. Verse number 15. And He said to the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wife. There's some things more important than things on this earth.
Yeah.
Those personal things, those intimate things that
right.
we're involved with. Sometimes those things have to be pushed aside.
Sure.
We're not very willing to do that, are we? We're not too interested in doing that. But He said, come not at your wives for 3 days. Put that aside because something more important is getting ready to happen in your life. Because Almighty God's going to come down and meet with you. So He tells them there in that passage of Scripture, come not at your wives. Put those intimate things aside. Put those personal things aside. And get your heart and your mind set on meeting with Almighty God.
Amen.
So He's interested. That's pretty serious. Tells them to do that in that passage of Scripture. But look at verse number 16, if you will, please. And it came to pass. Here it is. This is what He had promised them in verse number 9 that God was going to do. God said he was going to meet with them, and now the 3 days are over, and the people have consecrated themselves. They have cleaned their clothes, washed their clothes. They have paid attention to the boundaries that God has set, the confines that he has done. And now, verse number 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. There it is. To meet with God. You know what your pastor tries to do? You know what other preachers try to do? They try to get you to meet with God. It's not that important if you see us. We are just a mouthpiece. We are just a tool. But if we can get you to the place, friend, where you can meet with Almighty God, that's what it's all about. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, he says here in verse number 17, come out of the mount to meet with, out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the neither part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Here we see the cloud. A cloud. Now, some of you younger ones may not remember this terminology, but years ago, when the Lord would show up in a service, they would say things like this, like you needed to see an eye dog just to find yourself around. Why was they talking like that? Because the glory cloud came down. I tell you, it got real and it got rich, and God's presence was real. Amen. You ever experienced that?
Yes, sir.
You ever seen that? If you have, you'll never forget it.
That's right.
I remember as a boy, I wasn't saved, preacher. Blue Ridge Camp Meeting in Hendersonville, North Carolina. I was raised there. They would have a morning service and they would have a night service. And I remember as a boy, they had these old benches, the most uncomfortable things in the world. I guess to keep you awake. I don't know what it was for. It'd be better to sit on a nail keg than sit on those things, I believe. But they had those little benches, and some of the older people would bring lawn chairs because they're much more comfortable and put them at the end of the seats of the benches. And I remember as a kid, God coming down. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand it all. But I'd see them old saints of God get up, old women, too old to do much else, and they would do what they called the holy dance, I guess is what they called it, and they'd have their hands up in the air. I'm talking about 70, 80, 90 years old, and they'd woo, and they'd dance around in the shavings on the floor, and old men couldn't run anymore, and they'd walk up and down the aisles shouting and praising God, because God Almighty had come on the scene.
Amen.
Oh, how we need that.
Yes, sir.
How I long for that. I was just a little boy. I remember that in my mind. I'll never get away from that. I don't want to get away from it. Old Pappy Burns put a lawn chair up over his head and walked up and down the aisles, shouting and praising God. Those old men of God that was normally kind of just sit back and just not trying to work nothing up. They wasn't into that. Even those old men, when they realized and recognized that Almighty God was on the scene, oh, they'd rise from their seats. Some of them be on the platform. Some of them be out in the congregation. And I'd see them praise God and shout the victory. They knew what was real and what wasn't. This generation don't know the difference very much. They take a little bit of emotion and think, oh, God showed up. I know some of the most worldly people in the world that shout. God's not real in their life. They've never done what it said in the first part of this chapter. And so here we see the glory cloud has come down. There was thunders. There was lightnings. There was no mistake that God was coming down. There was no mistake. Somebody didn't say, I know God's supposed to meet with us, but what is that? No, they all knew that it was God. And here in this passage of Scripture, the cloud, glory cloud came down. And in this passage of Scripture, it says that God came down on that cloud. And you and I must understand, if we're ever going to experience that in our own lives, you say, preacher, man, what if nobody else is interested? I can't help that.
Right.
And neither can you.
That's right,
But you can do what it says in the first part of this chapter.
Right.
Many times I've been in services when God would come down, and they might just be a handful of people. Get in on it.
Yep.
The rest of the people looking around, they enjoy it. They don't mind it. They're not upset, but they're not going to get in it.
Right.
I don't think they wanted to.
Yep.
So I'm asking you, would you like to meet with God?
Amen.
He says in this passage of Scripture, talks about the cloud here. He also talks about the crowd. Look what it says, or the camp. Look what it says back up in verse number 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. All the people that was in the camp trembled. It says that the mountain quaked greatly. I'm telling you, what's more needed than the mountain quaking is the people trembling. I mean, to come to a realization that, well, God's come down among us.
Amen.
I mean, they used to say things like, I was afraid to move, afraid I'd bump into God.
Yep.
When's the last time you seen it like that?
Yep.
When's the last time we wanted it like that?
Yep.
When's the last time we desired it to be like that? That we'd push away from everything else in this world and bury ourselves in a place of prayer and beg God to meet with us. I remember as a young man when I got saved by the grace of God, it was me and Brother Barry Rackley and some Brother Mickey Cofer and some other young men who was all about the same age. They was already doing it before I got saved. They was meeting and praying up in the laurel thickets and on the river bank in different places, and I got in on some of that, and boy, I tell you, I was just hungry. The church I was going to was pretty liberal, and I didn't know the difference. I've been raised there, but I'm telling you, when I found out you could get in the presence of God, I couldn't get enough of it. We would pray. All of us went to different churches. We would pray, and we would pray that God would meet with us. And I'm telling you, if we went to church and looking for God, and if it was dead, it would trouble us.
Right.
It would bother us greatly. Does it bother you when it's like that?
Right.
It would bother us so bad, we'd say, let's go pray. And we'd go pray again.
Amen.
And we would go seek the face of God. I went to that little old mountain church. It was way out in the boonies. It was so far out, this little dead-end road, it was 5 miles beyond the Great Commission. That's how far out it was. I mean, it was way out. We had a bunch of young people. I was 21 years old. There was plenty of them, like 20 and down to 13. And I remember one night God showed up. And I knew what was going on, but I don't think anybody else hardly did. I'm not even sure the pastor did. Some of those young people got so tore up. Some of them made professions. I don't think they meant it. It didn't pan out. But they knew something was going on. They knew something was wrong in their life. And I knew some of them, I knew all of them, but I knew something about some of them's life, and they weren't living for God. And I remember God's presence was real in that little old church. It was probably about the size of the center section with an aisle down the middle. But I've never forgotten that.
That's right.
It's probably been 40 years ago. And I long for that again, Brother
Amen.
Shepherd.
Amen, brother.
I long for that again.
Yes.
It's not just a longing. It's a need. How we've got to have that.
Yes.
The camp is trembling. They weren't proud and boastful. They wouldn't say, look at me. They humbled themselves before Almighty God. The camp trembled in verse number 22. Look there, if you will, please. And he said, and let the priest also, which come near, come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth on them. Even the clergy, I'll use that for the point of outline. Even the priest had to get right with God. before they can come into his presence. I know we've got a lot of problems in the pulpit. I'm well aware of that. That don't have one thing to do with us as far as getting right with God. I want to be where I can meet with God. I'm tired of going through the motions. I'm tired of going and leaving. Nothing happening. I can't make God do it. And neither can you. But we can sure prepare ourselves. And have a desire and a longing for the God of glory to come down in our midst. They used to say things like, there's a church set on fire and people are coming to watch her burn. You know what? Is that fire? It's the lightning. It's talking about here the presence of God.
Amen.
It's not a literal fire, you understand. But it's the presence and power of a holy God that a group of people, no matter how large or small, would come under the instruction of, that Moses gave the people here. And they would want that. Can you imagine somebody say, oh, I heard that God was going to meet with them, and I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go fishing that day. We saw people going to Walmart on the way down here, doing things outside the house of God. They're not interested.
Yeah.
But if there was a group of people interested, it ought to be God's people. But we find ourselves not even interested sometimes. And we've succumbed to the humdrumness of church without the presence of God. I'll ask you this question once more and I'll be done. Are you interested in meeting with God? Say, preacher, I got children and grandbabies. You ought to be interested then. In meeting with God. If the church has progressed the way they're going in the next 20 years like they have the last 20 years, what are your grandbabies going to see? What are they going to experience? If things keep declining like they have in my lifetime, I know there's still a God in heaven no matter what happens. And we know it's supposed to get worse and worse in the world, but it don't have to in the church.
Right.
Are you interested? Say, preacher, I've never got there yet. Are you interested to have a meeting with God?
Amen.
Would you bow your heads, please? Lord, thank you for this time together.
Yes.
Please, Lord, I pray, instill these truths in us. Give us what we need, Lord. Help us to get where we need to be. And desire with all of our hearts for you to be in our presence, Lord, with your presence, your power to demonstrate it. People to get right, people to rejoice, sinners get saved, whatever the case may be. Let us set our heart right with God. In Jesus' name, amen.